this room that I'm in has like sound absorbing panels all over the
walls. Yeah, no,
it sounds so, so much better.
You can't hear the screaming.
It sounds so much better than that other room you were in.
Yeah, it's not echoey like my office.
Yeah. Okay.
That's where we can, that's where we'll do our now. Next live one.
Yes. In the screaming room.
Live from the screaming room.
All right. So
it's also pretty cool to have this giant American flag in the background behind
right,
me,
no, that's
it?
The best part. That's what really gives it the conspiracy theory cult vibe.
Is that a modern one, or does it have a weird number of stars?
Like, it's not a like cessationist flag.
Yeah, I should say, don't tread on me back there. That's, all right. So, Bill, you liked Graceland 66% degrees. What is it?
Degrees.
Is it a degrees scale? I thought it was something else. Wasn't it volume or something? Remember that?
No.
What is wrong with you?
It's been degrees.
Thought it was a thing. Like hertz or megawatts or something.
That was somebody else's scale. Bill's always the climometer is degrees.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just like a thermometer.
What?
After 4 years, Rick, here's an easy way to remember this. Oh, I had a question.
Yeah.
What are we doing? We're talking about music. We're talking about music. One thing I didn't get to mention in our rushed episode last week, because we just flew through that stuff, about Paul Simon and Graceland, is that I am a little fuzzy on what Graceland is.
Well, okay.
Like, is it like a actual place, or is it like an idea of a place? Is it like... It has to do with Elvis. Is it like his compound where he lived, or is it a town in Tennessee, or is it something different?
You know, it's Elvis's house.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like the Neverland Ranch.
Yeah.
Just like that. Got it.
Pretty similar.
I mean, yeah.
So
was there stuff with that too?
Who probably. No, not the same.
Elvis like
Graceland,
did some...
Graceland isn't like famous for child.
No, but there's also some weird shit that went on.
I mean,
there.
Priscilla was like, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it, this is all it, degrees.
He fumbled the name Priscilla, and I started taking a drink because I thought he was saying per se.
Oh, right. Yeah, he got fooled. The old pump fake.
I think when Elvis married Priscilla, she was like 15 or something, right?
Yeah.
So Priscilla was married. It was Priscilla Presley?
Yeah, after she married Elvis.
What a silly name.
Wait, why?
Just Priscilla Presley. Priscilla Presley. That's a lot of Presley.
Oh my God.
Priscilla Presley. P-R-I. Priscilla.
Yeah.
Check out, shit, I forgot what it's called. It's in Portland. It's the hair place. Man, they've been sponsoring us for 2 years. What's it called? It's called Hairpin Salon. That's what it's called. Yeah, check out Hairpin Salon in Portland. Google it.
And we're back. Wait,
and we're back. Hi, guys. Welcome to the podcast.
We're going to close the plug bag now.
What is it? All right. Bill, we're back. We went to Graceland in the 80s last week. And now,
wait,
what?
Paul Simon was from the 80s?
Yeah, that album.
I thought it was like the 60s.
Simon Garfunkel was probably in the 70s. Maybe they were around in the 60s a little bit. But
hold up.
That album was from 1986. Remember we talked about that?
Okay.
Have you ever seen The Graduate, Bill?
No.
Okay, we won't get into all that music. Anyway, so but now we're gonna dip our toe back into the 90s
with
okay
the Smashing Pumpkins' Siamese Dream.
Track number one, Cherub Rock.
Don't know this. Bill, you know the song from Guitar yeah. Hero?
Never heard this song.
Oh, it was from
before.
Guitar Hero. That's why I thought you would know it.
This is probably my favorite Smashing Pumpkins song.
Mm, well, really? That sucks that you're wrong.
I like the sound of the music.
I don't particularly like Smashing Pumpkins, but this is my favorite song.
This is...
I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but his voice is sort of obnoxious.
I think Billy Corgan has an interesting voice.
Is that
and I
Smashing Pumpkins?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Not just bringing up a random guy right now.
Smashing Pumpkins is Billy Cardigan. Got yep. it.
Billy Cardigan.
Yep. Good old Billy Cardigan.
Yeah, I think
invented a sweater.
This is probably one of their biggest songs, right?
Really?
I would assume.
I've never heard of it.
Okay, cool. One of their biggest songs from this album. I mean,
I've heard of Smashing Pumpkins, and in fact, know one of their albums pretty well.
Is it Melancholy Infinite Sadness?
Yes.
Yeah. And those songs, okay, those songs are probably all bigger. Well,
like 1979 and Tonight and the one about the rat in the cage and a vampire.
Right.
This is the second most streamed song on this album, only to track number 6, Disarm.
Okay.
Today is very close at Cherub Rock's at 168 million. Today's at 163 million, and Disarm is 209 million.
Here's something you won't find surprising. Out of all those huge songs you just named, none of those are my favorite song on the album.
Yeah, I'd never heard this song before. Huh. It was good. It was fine.
Track number 2, Quiet.
You know, I didn't. So I also wouldn't call myself a huge Smashing Pumpkins guy. But I say that mostly because I wasn't a huge Smashing Pumpkins person for a long time. I've liked as I've gotten older, I've come to appreciate them more. Mm. And Melancholy was not my favorite. I like this album better. And I had.
Because it's earlier?
No, I think it's better. I think it's more interesting. I had a discussion one time years and years ago about the best albums of the 90s. And the main everyone's answer is what, Ryan? What's the best album to come out in the 1990s?
Oh, Nirvana, never mind.
Yeah, right. So you were going to say that too, right, Bill?
No.
I
Weezer's Blue album is better than
you
that.
You know what? That would probably be on some people's lists. Probably not number one, but top 10 for sure. I heard someone make an argument that this is better than Nevermind.
I don't buy that.
I don't think that's the case, but I think that it does help me think that it's in the conversation of top 5, top 10. Like, Pearl Jam 10 is probably on that list, and you know, but I think Smashing Pumpkins get. What are you shaking your head for, Bill? People can't hear it on the podcast. What were you doing?
Just I don't know that album either.
What Pearl Jam album do you know?
Oh, I don't know any album.
Oh, good. Okay. I don't know that album or any album. Let's get to the next song.
Or anything at all. track number 3, Today.
Just
have heard this song before.
Okay, I would hope so. How many plays does it have, Ryan?
Continuing the streak.
What? How many plays does that song have?
163 million.
Okay. That's pretty good.
I'm not one of them.
Right.
But, right. Well, I guess I am now because I listened to yeah. it. But I think what's... I thought I knew this song from the album of theirs that I had known, which was Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
Right.
But I think I was confusing the song today with Tonight.
Yeah. Today and Tonight.
You know what I think is...
Absolute classic video for this song.
I think what's interesting, too...
Never seen it.
...is listening to Billy Corgan's voice is... Mm. You know, nowadays, everybody is, like, auto-tuned to death. And Billy Corgan has this interesting voice to me that has these weird tones. It almost sounds like it's computery, but it's not, right? He just sounds cool.
And he has, like on this song, it's that when he's in that higher, softer range, not the screamy part of his voice.
Yeah. We all know how you love the screamy part.
Right. That so this like softer lullaby part of his voice, I find less obnoxious and I actually kind of like it. And I can understand what he's saying when he sings like this in this song.
Do you guys want to play a game while we get through this? I gave you a clue, but
do you want to play a game?
Do you want to guess when we get to it, what my favorite song is? I'll give you one more clue. I think it's probably also in the conversation for one of the best songs, just like out of the, it's in the top 50 best songs of the 90s, including like one hit wonder dumb songs, but it's a really good song. We'll get to it. You tell me what you think. There's three or four there's some big standout tracks on this, and we'll get to some more of them.
Well, let's see if the next one is one.
Like right now, track number 4, Hummer.
To borrow a phrase from the last musical podcast we were doing, this is the point of the album where they start to get a little too Smashing Pumpkins for me.
They've smashed one too many pumpkins. I think that,
Bill,
when I listen to the guitar work in this and some of the
stuff
in the background, I feel like, do you feel like this is reminiscent of... It's different. It's a different kind of music, but doesn't it have an Alice in Chains feel?
I was going to say this feels 100% born of the 90s grunge rock. But my question to Bill was going to be, Bill, do you know who Butch Vig is?
No.
No way.
I didn't think so. Butch Vig produced this album. He also produced quite a many other grunge albums.
Like Nevermind.
Very big. Like Nevermind. L7, Sonic Youth.
He's in the band Garbage.
I thought that was a girl band.
There's a girl in the band.
Female lead singer, yes.
Okay, next song.
Track number 5, Rocket.
Guitar for the Smashing Pumpkins, the lead guitar.
James E.
No one famous.
Is it James Eha?
His name's James Eha.
Did you say Yeehaw?
Yeah.
So or is it Billy Corgan and James Eha are both credited as guitars.
Yeah.
There's no lead guitar or backup guitar.
Yeah. And then, but this is a girl band because there's a bass player that's a lady.
Darcy Retzky and Jimmy Chamberlain on drums.
Yeah. Why were you asking, Bill?
I was just wondering if it was someone like well known or that was in other stuff.
So yes, it is someone that's well known. It's James Iha.
As the guitar player of Smashing Pumpkins.
Well, yeah, but all, I mean, he's like, he's pretty big, you know. No, he's not well known to you.
But he's right. He's not well known for doing anything other than playing guitar with the Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay, but so is Van Halen big?
I don't know.
See, this is what this is the problem. Because what he's known for is being the guitar player for Van Halen.
Sure, but sometimes you guys will like bring up someone's name and you're like, oh, you moron. That guy was this guy and this guy and this guy.
Well, okay, sure. Okay, let's go to the next song.
He was in the Foo Fighters and other stuff.
Yeah, that's the order you say that in.
Track number 6, Disarm. I always forget about this
song. This is a good song.
I like this song.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I always think this is a Cranberries song.
You think it's a what song?
A Cranberries song.
Oh, yeah. Also a lady band.
This one sounds a lot like Tonight.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. I was like, at first I thought it was, and then I was like, oh, I haven't heard this one, but it sounds a lot like their other stuff. But I like the I like the violins in it a lot.
Yeah, the orchestral parts.
Yeah, and I like the just kind of like rolling sound to it. I don't know how else to describe it.
You really went
on it. It's not abrupt. It's real smooth.
You had like an emotional roller coaster listening to the song, being like, or all these songs, you're like, is this that song from that other album? Nope. Is this that song from that other album? No. That must suck
turns
for
out
you.
None of them were that song.
Right. Because it's the other album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is this a big song of theirs?
Yes.
This is the most streamed song. Okay.
This is my
200 million.
It sounds like it has like, well, it has the added instruments and like, it's like the Swing for the Fences song. So it was either like the biggest song or meant to be the biggest song and missed.
This is, this is probably my second favorite, or today, I can't tell. They're kind of tied songs in this album.
But nice.
Yeah, that's all.
You can post it on that list.
Okay.
Number 7, Soma. With a track like name like that, it's going to be an upbeat number. Drugs right now.
There's no way this is Rick's favorite song.
Why?
Because it's too. Because
it's no one's favorite song.
Yeah, it's too low key. This is a like, it's time to turn the record over song.
Sure. I can tell you.
Is it on the break, Rick?
I doubt it, but I can go look. Just play the next song, I'll go grab it.
Track number 8, Geek USA.
So that has to be the record flip point in this song, right?
It has to be. Because
that other one ends with that like slow, quiet thing. And this one comes in like heavy at the beginning, at the top to like bumpy back up.
Also, the We're on track 7 to track 8 of a 13-track album.
Yeah. Kind of makes sense. I would wager heavily on it.
And also the second half of the album.
I have a gambling problem.
The second half of this album also has an 8-minute track on it, so that balances out.
Yeah.
Did you guys already use the internet to find out this information?
No, but I'm wagering heavily. Yeah, we've
fielded some bets. There's some parlays going on.
Well, here's the issue. Is the album, the version I have of this
is a double LP. Yes.
But yeah. Soma is the last song on side B.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that tracks.
All right. Geek USA. We just did that one.
Yep. And I was gone.
Yeah, I'm saying.
It's just kind of like, welcome back. Here we go again, right?
Jumping well, I was going to say, too, this has another one of those real Smashing Pumpkins things where there's a very distinct bridge. There's a lot of, like, you go from a heavy rock song to, like, little, toms and dingle doodle guitars and stuff. It's, like, real light, and then it goes right back to the hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving along to track number 9, Mayonnaise.
And just based on titles, I'm saying this is probably a strong contender for Rick's favorite song.
Based on title?
I think your favorite song is going to either be Mayonnaise or Silver Fuck, but it could be Space Boy.
Track number 9, Mayonnaise.
Such a good song.
Rick just asked for extra mayonnaise. Yeah.
Is this the song, Rick, where they said the whole lore was that Billy Corgan's guitar was messed up and it would like make a noise whenever he stopped playing, and that's why it sounds like it sounds?
Oh, I don't know, but that'd be cool. I've never dug into anything about the song. I just love this. This song is amazing.
This is your favorite song.
Oh, yeah, by far.
And I knew it by the title.
Sure. Which makes no sense. That doesn't make any sense. I don't even like mayonnaise.
But I called it.
Track number 10, Space Boy.
Can we go back for a minute? Bill, what did you think of Mayonnaise?
It was fine. At this point, they're starting to all sound the same to me, and I'm getting tired of listening to it. Like, I'm not feeling Smashing Pumpkins a lot today.
Got it.
You're more in a Gallagher vibe, Smashing Watermelons?
Sure. Oh, shoot. There's a disc too?
No. It's just, don't worry about it.
Okay, good. Because I did not listen to that. Wait, but that has an album on it. I mean, a song on it called Siamese Dream. That's interesting. Anyway.
Track 11, Silver Fuck. Are we at a Tool concert right now?
Right.
You know, I've seen Rick wear Tool t-shirts, but I've never heard a Tool song.
Should we make Bill listen to Tool?
Yeah, we should. But here's the thing. Bill's never seen me wear a Tool t-shirt. But
are you sure?
Yes, I don't know. I've never owned a Tool t-shirt. I'm not that guy. I'm sure.
At some point you had some black t-shirt that said Tool.
I don't think so. I think I don't
own a Tool t-shirt either.
Rick, how many times have you seen Tool in concert?
Two or three.
Yeah. There's no way you didn't get a
shirt.
Yeah,
no, I definitely didn't because I don't. You know what? We're going to listen to Tool and we'll talk about Tool. And okay. There's some reasons why I don't own a Tool t-shirt.
Tool fucking Tool.
And and it's going to be Anima, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that an album?
Yeah.
Track number 12, Sweet Sweet.
Fine.
This song, it's fine.
That was it's fine. I get this one is just like da, da. This one was so boring. It is like a three note range song.
It is the least streamed song on this album.
Yeah,
by a lot.
Yeah, it sucks.
Finally,
he's like, it's closing. Fine. It was fine. It sucks.
It sucks. The closing track of Siamese Dream, Luna, track 13.
You know, just listening to this album the way we've listened to it now, you know, in 5 second little bursts, I'm really appreciating the guitar work on this album. I think it's fun. Yes.
No, that's why I was asking about the guitar player, is I think there's some good guitar sounds and different rhythms and stuff in this album, but this is one of those albums that just really, to me, craters at the bottom half, you know? And it's like all of the good songs are top-loaded.
Hey, just real quick. I just got a text message from my daughter upstairs who's 10 years old. And she just texted me, how's the podcast coming along? I'm not sure what to tell her.
Did she send you a text or send you a voice message on text?
This time it was a text.
That's all my son sends me is voice. I'm like, stop doing
that. She sends me voice text that'll just say, she'll go, yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. But does she have a watch?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what my son has too. He's 11.
Oh, well, that makes more sense.
And it's all the voice stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then you don't have to pull up a keyboard and pull out your phone. You just respond. Yeah. It's super annoying, though.
But did you ever, like, look in when you get text messages from a 10 year old, which I don't do a lot.
When I get text messages from a 10 year old?
Yeah. I was like, how's the pocket? And I was like, how's the sleeping coming along? And then she just wrote back, meh. Oh, my life. Okay. Anyway.
Bill.
Wait. You know, I know that I just was saying I Paul Simon'd my Paul Simon last time we were here. And
yo, dog.
I know that you're all pumpkin smashed out, but I think that your level of musical interest is hard to say. I can't think of a lot of bands that are going to hold your attention and interest for an entire album.
No, I have a very high bar that very few can
clear. So you have to kind of give a little leeway and pick the top five or if you could find.
I don't have to do
five
shit.
Or six. Okay, I heard, you know, this is not a movie podcast, but if it was, I've heard recently some famous director from a long time ago. I mean,
it's barely a podcast at all.
Right. Some famous director years ago said to make a good movie, what you have to have is, I think it's three great scenes and no bad scenes. That makes a great movie, right? So how many songs does an album need to be a great album?
That's a deep question that we should merit a lot of thought towards.
Okay.
I think it's got to have – I think in order to be a great album, it's got to have four or five great songs on it.
And does this have that?
Maybe it's close, but that it's not so much not having any bad songs, but it's also there's a quality of a great album that is I want to listen to it from start to finish. That's like a journey I want to go on or an experience I want to have again. That like there is a flow, it's not jarring. There aren't any terrible songs that drop off that you just like want to skip and want to get past. But it's like this to me doesn't do that. It has high points, but it is something that it's like, I'll just listen to those high points. I don't want to go through the album journey again.
I heard another podcast recently also say that an album.
This is my favorite podcast. Rick quotes other podcasts.
An album can be great. And you could call it amazing, but it doesn't have to be perfect. But what it probably more the better term than perfect album is flawless. You know, and
right, it's not perfect, but it doesn't have any flaws.
There could be some songs on it that you don't want to listen to a lot, but it doesn't mean that they're terrible songs or they're bad. They're just not what you're looking. Anyway, all right, Bill, what'd you give this album?
I mean, that's lame. That's
I don't think it is because I think you're putting too much pressure on.
I heard a podcast and it said the perfect woman is one who just doesn't piss you off all the time.
No, yeah, but that's kind of true. Like, I mean, do you need?
Well, what that's kind of like the don't make the don't make. Oh, shit. How does it go?
Not to pick your don't make a hoe a housewife. Bill.
No, that's not what I was going to say.
Bill, don't. What? What did
what are you,
you
doing?
What?
What are you doing to us?
What did you say? Okay. Does Dave Matthews have a.
God, just leave Dave Matthews out of this podcast.
Listen to another band then. Does he have a perfect album?
No.
Okay, does he have a flawless album?
I don't know. I honestly, I don't listen to a lot of his whole albums. I listen to compilations or his live. I like his live albums.
Does he have a
which then,
perfect live album?
Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds live at Luther College might be that.
Okay. So every
it
song.
Might, it at least is flawless.
Okay. I mean. What album? What name one album that's perfect?
I don't have to.
Okay, so you don't have one.
I'm that doesn't
by any artist. Other any artist?
Rick, do you have a perfect album?
No, because I don't think that's a thing.
Right. So why are you being weird about it?
Because you're talking about these albums that you're too Smashing Pumpkined out. And it's gonna give them a worse ranking. because what's gonna you give got
them,
bored.
What's gonna get what? What's no? What's gonna give them a worse ranking is I never want to listen to this album again.
But would you put any of these songs on a playlist?
Yes.
So that's my problem. Okay, what's your score, Bill?
We're not. If you want me to score each song, that's a different thing, right? But when we're talking about an album, we're talking about, is this album something you'd want to listen to again? Is it this album something you like?
If at the end of...
I give it a 48.
If at the end of Airheads...
Yeah.
All those guys...
The perfect movie.
Murder, if they all just had a murder-suicide pact on stage and killed themselves... In a real gory way. How much would you have hated the movie? But everything else was the same.
What makes you think I would have?
I don't know. Well, because you wouldn't, because it would have been too jarring and you wouldn't have liked how it ended.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of suicide.
Yeah. But, you'd be like, why'd they do that? It was funny all the way up till now.
Unless you're in a really good mood.
Right.
That's an inside joke.
So to break this down, starting at 45 degrees, OK Computer by Radiohead, 48 degrees, Purple Rain, 48 degrees, Siamese Dream, 50 degrees, Are You Experienced, 52 degrees, Boston.
Perfect. So if I told you, Rick, with no other context, I think this album is as good as Purple Rain by Prince. You would be totally you'd be totally satisfied with that answer.
No, I'd be annoyed. I'd be like, that can't be true. I also anyway. Well, it's not up to me. It's up to Bill.
Yep. It's Bill's world. We're just living in it.
Damn straight.
Yeah. It's all a simulation.
And on that note, let's get the fuck out of here.
Well, I think it about wraps it up for this week. I really want to thank all of the listeners out there. We really do appreciate you. Please take a minute to check out our socials. We are on Instagram at Miseducation of Bill. We are on Twitter at Miseducation of Bill. And please, please email us at miseducationofbill@gmail.com. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and like us on all of your favorite podcast apps. You can find us on all of the major apps, Spotify, Apple Music, and anywhere else you can find your podcast. A special thanks goes out to Wyatt Only and The Wreckage for letting us use their music on the podcast. You can find them on Spotify and at WOATW.com.
Until next time.
Goodbye. Bye.
Succubus, I hear. dream.